Take your Bible tonight and let's open to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number, well, I'll tell you in a moment where we're going, all right? You've ever been deceived? As we all have, haven't we? Deception. It's in our world, all around us. People telling half-truths, which I guess are fool lies. Deception. We deal with the wicked one who is the master deceiver. He deceives us. So we have to be on our toes, mentally, spiritually, relationally. You have to be very careful so that you are not deceived. Four times in the Word of God, I find that the Scriptures tell us, do not be deceived. And those areas that they deal with, I find, are going to be very important. The Scripture would not have pointed these out to us. So the master deceiver does some things in our minds, in our spirit, where he tries to hide or mask or blind or lead us in the wrong avenue, the wrong way, and deceive us. But not only is the wicked one a deceiver, the Word of God speaks more about people being deceivers than it does the devil. There are many deceivers, and it says in 2 Timothy, I think it's 3:13, as you get toward the end of the age, there are going to be more and more men that are more and more deceptive, leading us in the wrong ways. And there are deceptive people that are around us even in the dispensation that we find ourselves in this very day. Deceivers. Be wise, be alert, be very careful. Do not be deceived. So let's jump into these four passages that I want to show you tonight. The first one's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9, where we find the Bible telling us, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. The unrighteous won't inherit. Now, friend, I want you to understand something. If you don't have the righteousness of Christ in you, you'll not inherit the kingdom on the other side. Heaven will not be yours. Hell will be yours. And then he begins to flesh it out a little farther, and he said, don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, homosexuals, he goes on into verse 10, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, swindlers, these will not inherit the kingdom of God. So he makes a list. He said, don't be deceived. You've got to be touched by the righteousness of Christ in order for heaven to be yours. Inheriting the kingdom of God. You ever been to a funeral when somebody preached and spoke over the deceased and said, well, they went to hell? Never. I've never done it. I've ignored the path of the individual. I've never been called on, I think, to do a service of somebody who was just absolutely a blasphemer that would say, I don't want to have anything. You know, if they didn't want to have anything to do with God or what, they usually wouldn't call a Bible preacher to do the funeral. It seems like everybody goes to heaven when they die. At the funeral, I'm talking. Always remember, my mother is one of the few pieces of preaching advice she ever gave me. She said, I just want to talk to you about one thing. She said, when you do a funeral, don't make me have to get up and go up there and look in that box to see if you're talking about the person I thought I came to their funeral. She said, don't shine their halo. Make them something they were not. She said, don't lie to me in that funeral service. And so I said, yes, ma'am. And I think about that when I come to do a funeral. So I'm telling you, friend, everybody's not going to heaven. As a matter of fact, the Word of God says the majority are not going. There's a narrow way and a broad way. In that narrow way, there's few that find it. And there's a broad way, and many go on it, that leads to everlasting destruction. Don't be deceived that everybody's going. Don't be deceived that all your family knows Christ. Don't be deceived that everybody at your workplace is going to heaven. Don't be deceived that everyone in your church is going to heaven. Don't swallow the lie. Because the people that walk in continuous, sinful abomination and unbelief have been blinded. Don't be deceived about heaven. Secondly, turn to 1 Corinthians 15, just a few pages to the right in your Bible, a second place where we're not to be deceived. In 1 Corinthians 15, and you know this chapter, it is the resurrection chapter. And we get down to verse 33, and right in the middle of this, he just drops in this verse. Every father of teenagers ought to know this verse. It was a proverb. It was dropped in Scripture. It is a proverb for us today. You ought to memorize this. You ought to know it. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. He just drops it in right there in the context of this passage on Christian hope and getting ready to enter into the resurrected body. Talks about being sober-minded, not to sin. But in that, he builds this, he just drops in this phrase, bad company corrupts good morals. A friend, if you hang around with a bunch of alley cats, that's just what you're going to do. Now, there is an underside to this. So some people read this text and say, okay, I don't have anything to do with the world. I'm going to run from the world. And I'm not going to touch the world. And I'm going to get in a Christian church and a Christian family and a Christian school. And I'm just going to buy from tires from Christians. And I'm only going to buy cars from Christians. And I'm not going to do anything with the lost world. I'm going to have anything to do with them. And when I get ready to build my house, the electrician's got to know the four spiritual laws. And well, the Bible also says we're to be salt and light. That we're to touch this world. I've had a lot of people ask me, say, Pastor, can we do I say a lot. I've had a handful through the years. Hadn't had it in a while. They say, can we do a handbook of Christian businesses in our church to give out so we can do business with our people? No. I mean, I'm not going to print one. But you know people in your church. If you want to do business with them, do business with them. But sometimes you ought to do business with some people that don't know the Lord. But now be very careful that in your life you don't find yourself running always with the wrong crowd, with the bad company, because I'm telling you that'll spill over into your life. And when your habit is to hang with that crowd always, you're going to be, and they'll deceive you. You'll get blinded to that. You've got to come apart and be separate and fellowship with the right kind of people, but you've got to be in this world, but not of this world. Don't let the world drag you in. Don't be deceived. You hang out with the wrong crowd all the time, you're going to be in a bad, bad, bad scenario, because they will corrupt your morals. They'll drag you down to where they are. Every teenager ought to be taught this proverb. They all know about that. You begin to run with that wrong rank group, and I'm telling you that they'll just suck you in. You'll be deceived, blinded. You ever been there? Whew. I remember as a kid, it just seems like the fun crowd is a bunch of sinners. It's a good group, you know. I mean, I want to hang out with them. Well, I grew up in a great era of the Jesus movement. As a matter of fact, one of my high school friends posted a picture of us on Facebook day before yesterday. We were all high school seniors. We'd been ordained to gospel ministry. It like scared me to death when I saw that picture. I don't know how many polyesters had to be killed to make that suit I had on, but I had on a tie that wide and a knot big as your fist. And we'd all gone to Samford University with Brother E.L. Patton. He took us down there. And there were four of us. David, he's the biggest guy on our football team, his left tackle. Terry Robertson, he's right guard. Eddie Wheeler, he is a center, and I was a quarterback. There's four of us. Three of us are still in ministry today out of those that were called there. Terry, David, he works with underprivileged children. Terry is the executive director of all the Baptist work in the state of New York. Imagine a boy from Dutton, Alabama, being in charge of all the state of New York. Unbelievable. Eddie did not stay in ministry. He's a good man, but he's not in ministry today, and in myself. Well, man, we just ran. I jokingly tell people peer pressure didn't bother us because we were peer pressure. That was the Jesus movement days. And that we brought. But friends, we live in a different generation today. You got to help your teenagers. You got to help our young people. That's why we need to carve out places of safety for them. But thank God for those that are out there being salt and light and not being but corrupted. But don't be deceived. If you hang with the wrong crowd altogether, that company will corrupt your morals. They will drag you in to where they are. So be very, very careful. Don't be deceived about heaven. Don't be deceived about fellowship and morality. Thirdly, go to Galatians 6 and verse 7. There is a third text here where he talks about not being deceived. Galatians 6 and verse 7. This is the one you know best. Do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. Now, friend, whatever you're putting in the ground, what are you going to get out? Don't deceive yourself. I can do this and this and this and this, and then I'm going to get that. No. What you sow is what you're going to reap. Now, tonight is business meeting. We do this once a quarter, and then once a year we adopt the budget. We do it on a Sunday evening. We're going to do it tonight. Now, I want you to hear me. This church is over 120 years old. Had its ups and downs and downs and ups and outs and lefts. But she just keeps sailing. In the years I've been your pastor, when I arrived here, this church was on 12 acres of parcel of ground. We didn't own where we are now. We bought this ground the seventh day I was here, because the church had already moved to do it, and they did a great job. It's one of the things that brought me here was the vision of the laymen that were in this church. I said, man, if they do that without a pastor, what'll they do? They get together, and if they'll love a leader, and go forward. So here we are those 25 years later, and we've gone from 12 acres to 53. And God's blessed. And we've tried to be great neighbors to people around us. Brother Dan and I were out visiting the other day. We were walking out on the property, and we were looking around at some stuff, and one of our neighbors, we saw him. Hey, Pastor, come over here. Went out and sitting in his garage. He's an elderly man. He said, you know, Mama and I was talking the other day, talking about his wife, I think. If His mother's alive, I'm telling you right now, she's an elderly lady. But Mom and I was talking the other day and said, you know, we're going to want to sell this place one day. And I said, will y'all be in the market maybe to talk? I said, well, yeah, we'd have interest in that around us anytime. So he said, well, I'll talk to you sometime. I said, good. Piece of property out here in front of our building now. It's been everything from a bank to a Starbucks to a potato shed. It's just been a bunch of stuff. And we've always kept a relationship with the gentleman, Mr. Moulton, that owns that property. Try to be a good neighbor and him to us. Do you have trouble with your neighbors where you live? I do sometimes. I got neighbors that's got big dogs. They get in my garbage. And I do have, well, I got a bunch of guns. A high-powered pellet gun that usually does pretty good with a dog if you hit him in the hind end with it. Do you understand where I'm going here? Relationships are very important. And friend, just because their dogs get in your stuff, if you act like a, if you sow that, you're going to get that back. Don't be deceived. You cannot act that way and not have it come back to you. So we deal with our neighbors. We try to be a great neighbor to all the people around here. We love our neighbors. There's a retirement center right down here. When it went up for sale, we looked at buying it one time. We got within about $200,000 and the price wasn't right. Now somebody else took it and bought it, and man, they've been doing real well. And so we bought this last piece of property, and the sweet lady that had that property, we've known her a long time. We bought her son's property before, and the Karras house was in it, or the Karras house was a part of it, and then termites got in it. You know the one we had to tear down? Hey, here, just stay with me. Now it's business meeting night, and I'm going somewhere here. You need to know about this, because there's folks talking about you right now. When this elderly lady's husband died, she's been my friend for 20 years. We didn't always see eye to eye, and we've tried to buy her property, and we never could. It was just a business deal. We couldn't get together. But after he died, she came to me and said, Pastor, I think it's time. I said, okay. I said, but you're not in any shape to do that. If you want to talk, you talk. Well, weeks went by and she did talk. And we negotiated a price. And because she before was not really ready, she wanted to try to make money more. And you understand that a church is going to give, and we've always given above market around us because it's worth more to us. And so we bought the property, and people have said to me, I've been accused this week of stealing property from a woman with dementia. Her children were the executors. They had to sign off. They offered us, and we said yes, and Dan did the deal. Friend, don't you hear me? This church would not act that way. Well, we couldn't steal something from somebody. We'd be a fool to do that. Matter of fact, I don't even know how to steal property. You make a price, you make a counter offer, they come back and say yes or no. I went to the deacons and tried to pay more and they wouldn't do it. And they were right. First time 25 years I've been here, I was wrong. And they said, no, Pastor, we can't do it. We've got to hold the line. That's more than it's worth, and we got to do that. And just stay right there, and we'll be fine. So we did, and they came back to us. And we did the right thing. What I'm telling you, friends, if you will sow righteousness, it'll come back to you. do right, sow right, and that'll come back. But if you sow evil and lies, I'm here to tell you, you wait long enough, those weeds will come up. Even on Facebook, it'll come back to get you. Say, Pastor, well, why doesn't it come faster? Well, sometimes God's still teaching you something. Sometimes it doesn't even come in this life. Sometimes it comes after you're dead and gone. But I'm here to tell you, don't be deceived. Keep doing the right thing. That's what this church is going to do. That's what you ought to do. And when you sow to righteousness, that will come back to you. Friend, if you sow corruption in the flesh, you'll reap that. And he goes on to say in this text, don't lose heart in doing good, for in due time we'll reap if we don't grow weary. That's that word persistence down in verse 9. You got to persist and stay by the stuff and sow when you can't see it and do right when it sometimes looks like evil would be the better way to go. No, no, it's never the right way to go. Don't, that's deception. The wicked one's putting that over your eyes. Don't be deceived. God's not going to be mocked. What a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. Be persistent. Put it in the ground. And we've done that with our neighbors out here. And we've loved on them, and we've paid above market value, and that's been a good thing. No matter what people would write and say, and that's okay. Now, 99.5% of you hadn't got a clue what I'm talking about. But it did pop up in a high school classroom this morning and came back to us. Some of our young people were talking about it. And why is that? Well, because they read what's written on that Facebook. They think it's just like the newspaper. They think everything in there is true. You know better. And so you got to speak into that every now and then. I don't want to go there, but it's illustrative of what we're talking about tonight. Deception, deception. It'll kill you. It'll kill you. Make sure you sow right. And then number four, the fourth deception passage, or do not be deceived passage, is found in the book of James. James, over in James. The gospel in blue jeans, I call it. I love the book of James. Oh my, what a great, great book is James. So you go over there and find James. And James chapter 1 and verse 16. It's like I'm reading out of somebody else's Bible tonight. All these pages stuck together. James 1 and verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Now that's what the verse says. Now here's the question. A text without a context is what? It's a pretext. So the question about verse 16 is James talking about what comes next, or is he talking about what came before? I believe that he's talking about what came before. So you got your Bible open. Sharon doesn't have this. But you look back, and as we see James 1 and verse 16, I believe the context is verse 13, 14, 15. Listen to the word of God. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. If you think that you can be tempted and then have lust and it not give birth to sin, and sin then not bring forth death, you have been deceived. Because it does. When sin comes, God doesn't tempt. Oh, no. But temptation does come. And when temptation gives birth, and you're carried away by your own lust, then it gives birth to sin when you act on it. And sin, when it's accomplished, when it goes to the end, it brings forth spiritual death. Don't be deceived. That's, if you stay in that, that's where it will go. Don't be deceived, my beloved brethren, about sin in your life. It'll fool you. People think that they can just dab in that a little bit. I'm telling you, it'll rise up. It'll rise up and bite you. And it will bring forth death in your life if you are not very, very careful by saying no to temptation. With every temptation, the Bible says the Lord will make a way of what? To escape, to get out. So now I want you just to get quiet before the Lord, and I want to ask you this question. What are your temptations? What tempts you? I don't have the same temptations now I used to have when I was 40. I have different temptations. Seasons of life change. I believe temptation changes too. Because the wicked one comes at you in a different way. There's things don't bother me anymore that used to really bother me. There are things that bother me now that I didn't have trouble with any 20 years ago. Have to deal with that. I got a mother-in-law over here in the retirement center. It's wearing my wife out. Man, I argue with God about that. I walk out of this office on Thursday and there's 8 cops out here at the busiest intersection in Escambia County. 8 police officers. They're working traffic. What's happened? You read about it in the paper? An elderly gentleman, I don't know if he had a medication problem or if he, I don't know. He was flying down Davis Highway and an AT&T truck sat there and he hit that truck and knocked it all the way across 4 lanes of traffic. Or all 4 airbags deployed on his car. Threw the gentleman out the window. He was dead before he got to Sacred Heart Hospital. Now there's a gentleman that they'll decide what to do about his driving and what occurred with that. Well, friend, I want you to understand something. You're not promised a minute. That guy's 42 years old, sitting at a red light, minding his own business, and the next moment he's hanging out the window dead. You better be ready, 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 ready. You never know. I don't know. You don't know. When judgment is coming your way. You say, well, preacher, I got time. You know, I'm dealing with that sin right now, but I got time to fix it. You don't know you got time. That gentleman out there, I don't know who he was. I mean, I know his name because I saw it in the paper, but one of our good men at our church was sitting at the red light. He was the first man to get to that guy that died. He ran to him and he said, I held him, Pastor, till the medics got there. He said he didn't move. Shocked that member. He said, man, I saw it. Dan and I walked out there and we talked to a young girl. She was so shook up. She's out of her car. She said she saw it. She began to tell me everything that was going on. She said, I just got my driver's permit last week. I said, Lord, help you, sister. She was absolutely scared out of her. I thought, this may be a good thing for her. This may shock her into being careful. All I'm saying to you tonight is, don't be deceived. If you think that you got time to get all that stuff, you don't know that. Don't let the wicked one blind you to say, I can deal with that sin later. Friend, you better deal with it today. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. What a man sows, he reaps. My beloved brethren, be very careful. Sin will come and bring forth death. But before we move any farther, I want us just to get still before the Lord. Jamie, where are you over there? Won't you just go play something very quietly on the piano for a minute tonight? I think we ought to pray. This is business meeting. We're going to do that in a minute. But let's do business with God. Here's what I want us to do. Hey, do y'all remember that 2 weeks ago when we packed this place out on a Sunday night and had that great prayer meeting? I never had such demonic hell come after me in the last 2 weeks since that in all my life. I mean, it's been hot and heavy. It made me shout. Said, amen. I know who wins. He may kill me. I don't know. Well, that's all right. We're going forward. Now, I'm telling you, we kicked the anthill of demons that night. They got on the move. I never seen so much stuff begin to happen. Crazy here and yonder. Oh, the wicked one does that. So let's do it again. Let's have 6,000 people next time. Amen. So we rented the Civic Center the other day. We're going to do that again. If he's not upset, we're probably not in the right business anyway. So why don't we tonight, let's do this. Why don't you find two or three people? Let's just have a mini prayer meeting here tonight. That's the greatest business of the church. So why don't you find a couple of friends and pray with them? Just spend a moment while Jamie plays softly. And you say, Pastor, what do we pray? Whatever's in your heart. Just ask God that you would not be blind, you would not be deceived, that you would see clearly the things of God. If you'd rather come to the altar and pray, that's fine. If you needed somebody to pray over you, I'll be right here, be glad to help you. But just find a friend or two right now, and let's just pray for a moment and ask God's favor and blessing. Find you a friend or two, and let's pray together. Go do that and do it real quick.